Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, my progress on the To The Sea jumper, knitting sleeves two at a time, small projects and knitted food. Hello and welcome to episode 25 of the podcast. I'm delighted to have my voice back to normal. Thank you very much for sticking with me through a quite delightful cold that lasted a fortnight and then went round the whole family. Here I am at episode 25, my first half century, dear me, I can knit but I can't add up, my first quarter century of podcasts. I hope you're enjoying it. Thank you very much for listening. I think over the last 25 episodes, the sound quality has definitely improved. There's still one or two things I'd like to work on, but until that 25th hour in the day rolls round, that's not going to happen. I'm still getting to grips with Audacity, but by and large, I think I've got the hang of it. I hope you're enjoying listening to the podcast as much as I'm enjoying recording it. Something I find that it has done for my knitting is that if I'm having one of those evenings where I'm maybe not so keen on the concentration that's required with knitting, we've had a very intense 2 or 3 weeks just recently, business and personal and so on. And one or two evenings I have just wanted to let my brain really melt and I haven't wanted to have to concentrate on knitting or do something that's a fine activity. But I find myself thinking, oh, well, I'll have to fess up next week that I haven't got as far as I should have done, or I'm not going to have anything to talk about. And not that I've ever been to Slimming World, but I can imagine it's a bit like that, or Weight Watchers, where you think, oh, can't eat that because then I'll have to fess up next week. So anyway, thank you very much. I'm certainly intending to carry on with the podcast for the foreseeable future. I'm still making progress with the To The Sea jumper, the free Ravelry download. It's a lovely men's Gansey. I've knitted up to the point where you join in the sleeves, so I am now knitting those sleeves. They're going pretty well. It's relatively mindless, and of course it is now that you knit the sleeves separately to join in, they now count as a small project. I've got a vast skein of yarn, having said that. I mean, it's about the size of a newborn baby, weighs just about as much, but I can cram that skein of yarn and the growing sleeve into my smallish knitting project bag, and I can skip out of the house with that. I'm not having to bundle quite a large jumper bodice into my knitting bag, and certainly once both sleeves are made and I've got everything threaded on to the same cable, it really won't be a portable project. But at that stage I will be starting to decrease and, you know, working on the yoke, and I'm going to feel possibly slightly delusionally that I'm on the home straight. When I started knitting these sleeves, I considered knitting two at a time, but I dismissed the idea because without having really thought it through, I just assumed that that wasn't possible when you're knitting two tubes that are open at both ends. I knit my socks two at a time, but I start from the toe. I do the same with mittens, because until you do a thumb, it's virtually a sock. And the cast on that I do for that, I use Judy's Magic Cast On. I think that's what it's called. It's the one that gives you a complete piece that goes over the toe. There is no opening that you need to seam. And that is very simple to do for the casting on. As with so many cast-ons, there's a slight knack to what you're doing, but there's nothing sort of conceptually difficult about what you're doing. And without having sat down and really addressed what the possibilities might be. I just kind of dismissed it in my mind, thinking, oh no, you wouldn't be able to do that because it would be a really complicated and kind of weird cast on, and I can't see how that would work, therefore obviously you can't do it. But it was preying on my mind. I think I knew full well really that I was wrong. So I decided to look this up. And I came across a bit of information and a couple of videos, which I will link to. The main ones I found was a video called How to Knit Two Items in the Round with Two Circular Needles. That's by Iris House Productions. These are both on YouTube. The other one is from Knitting in the Round, Two at a Time on One Circular Needle. That's not actually a video. That is a very comprehensive webpage tutorial. It's quite interesting to watch that video and then read the tutorial, because if I understand correctly, the knitting two items at once in the round with two circular needles was the precursor of Magic Loop. It became, I understand it, the same person developed this into Magic Loop. Now, forgive me if I've just committed a total howler, because I haven't researched it in depth, but that is my understanding of what they say in the video. And I can really see how that came about. So the thing that I like on the webpage tutorial is the really step-by-step instructions about casting on. The way that you cast on is basically exactly echoes how you knit with a magic loop. So you cast on half of one sock, cast on half of the other sock, move your needles as you do for magic loop, continue casting on the second sock, just casting on the other side, and then cast on the other side of your first sock, which is of course what you do. If you're knitting socks on magic loop, you knit the top of one sock, then you knit the top of the second sock, you shift your needles around, you knit the sole of the second sock, and then you knit the sole of the first sock. And this is how the cast on works. The potential for getting in a tangle and my nemesis, which is twisted stitches, is high. And clearly, as I'm 3/4 of the way through the first sleeve, it's far too late for me to do this now. But I thought this was quite interesting. I think it would need practice. Generally, I'm not very good at practicing techniques. I prefer to learn on the job, as it were, because I'm not a patient person and I get irritated with practice runs. But I can see for this that actually it probably is worth practicing. It reminds me of somebody I knew who had a Rolls Royce actually in the 1980s, and when she was learning to drive, her father got her doing parallel parking in his Rolls because she'd be so absolutely terrified of bashing it. And I suppose if you can parallel park something the size of a Rolls Royce, you could parallel park a Sherman tank, and you can certainly parallel park a mini metro. So that's sort of the concept I bring to learning on the job, which is I've got to get this right because this is the real thing. You know, I can only cock it up to a certain point, but I think probably with this, because it's going to be, I think, the sort of fiddly that has little wisps of smoke emerging from my ears, it's probably worth a practice. But so I'm going to give that a go on future projects. It's too late for now, but it seems the logical progression to knit them together. And although, I mean, 2 centimetres is 2 centimetres, but when you're measuring knitting, there's always that just fractional room for judgment. Is that quite 2 centimetres? Should I just do one more round before I increase, decrease, etc.? So if you've got your two sleeves on the needle at the same time, you don't have to worry. If you do one row more or one row less, it really doesn't matter because both sleeves are the same. I mean, I'm optimistic that both sleeves will be by and large the same anyway, but I'd be quite interested in trying that in the future. And I have been thinking about future projects for me. I know I've talked about specific ones that I might do, and I won't cover that ground again, but I was idly thinking about it the other day, my stash is reasonably healthy at the moment. I'm just turning around to have a quick look at it. Because I really stocked up when Aldi was doing some great offers, I've got two 400 gram skeins of a purple yarn. I've got, I've got at least 400 grams of what from here looks like a blue DK. Okay, I don't actually remember buying blue DK. It must be the French Navy that I've talked about before. I've got two 4-packs of full-sized skeins of black DK, and I'm sitting here looking at obscene quantities. I've got 1, 2, 3. I've got 4 4-packs of regular size skeins of grey DK. And so I was thinking the other day that I should be able to make all of the things that I'd like to make for myself. I've also got the blue marl Aran, which I'm going to use, I think, to make a jumper for my husband, because he still needs one more jumper after this. But I should be able to make myself the wrap top that I want, plus a couple of the cardigans. I really need a blue cardigan. I could use a winter weight purple cardigan. I'm still wearing a summer weight over a shirt, over a vest. So I was really quite excited at the prospect of all these lovely things that I haven't got to go out and buy. I'll get all the pleasure of knitting them. The fit kind of bothers me a little bit. I saw a lady the other day wearing a beautiful grey knitted dress. She was very slim, thin, but a very elegant lady, probably about 10 years older than me. And I was instantly drawn to this grey dress that she was wearing. I don't know if it was hand knitted. It could have been. It was that type of style, but it was beautiful. She really carried it off. She was the smartest woman in the supermarket by a million miles, but without any flashiness. It was just such a beautifully designed and well-made item that she could have worn it to Buckingham Palace garden party just as well as to the supermarket, and she wouldn't look out of place in either setting. But it got me thinking again about knitted dresses, which I'd love a knitted dress, but I really would like to just lose that little bit of weight, specifically the little bit of tummy that my 10-pound 4-ounce son has left me with. But that got me thinking generally about the fit and the length of the knitted items that we make for ourselves. And one, my sort of opening howler when I started the podcast 25 episodes ago was the cardigan that I had made for myself, which was simply too small. I had gone by the measurements and I hadn't really gone by the reality of the fit on me. That had a happy ending. It found a good home with my mother, who likes it and wears it. But it has very much made me twice shy for the next time I make an item for myself. And something I'm very much looking forward to creating for myself is a grey DK wrap top. And I've got a pattern, but I think I'm going to make it a little longer than the pattern stipulates. So I'm going to have to look carefully at to what extent that affects the fit. Because it is a wrap top, it may affect the fit only very marginally, because you will use the pulling in of the wrap to create that fitting on the body. And obviously the thing I will have to be careful about is where I place the tab. The tail, I can't think of the word, the string that you use to actually take round yourself, and obviously relative to that, the hole that it goes through. So as long as I can get those okay, and I can obey the instructions from there upwards, which is arguably is the tricky bit, sewing or knitting your rib for the hem and then knitting up to the point where you want the tie to go, I think that should be relatively straightforward without creating too many problems for myself. So when all the Halloween knitting, which I haven't actually started yet, when that's done, and when I finish the socks I'm making for my daughter, and obviously when I've finished To the Sea, I think I'm going to cast on for that. But it's, I think, one of those projects I'm going to be picking up and putting down as I knit baubles and I knit these clog socks that I've talked about as something that I would like to make for people. But I'm very excited, and I'm not sure I can trust myself not to cast on for that very soon. I said, excuse me, I really am okay. I said in the introduction to this episode that I wanted to talk about knitted food. This came up because I saw the other day a great photograph of a knitted full English breakfast. The photograph was posted by an account called at Sunny Gran, exactly as it sounds, sunny as in sunny day. And this full English breakfast had been created by a designer called Jessica Dance. From what I can see of it, it looks like it includes some felted elements, but it was great. It made me laugh. It was a lovely thing to repost for the weekend. But it made me think about knitted food more broadly. My daughter was, over the summer, my 14-year-old daughter was diagnosed with celiac disease. She's turns out to be the only member of our family who has it. And that's obviously been quite a learning curve for us. And something that I have to worry about, obviously I not only have to worry about the gluten, any gluten in food that she's eating, make sure there is no gluten in what she's eating, I have to worry about contamination, I have to think about school dinners. She's also doing food tech GCSE, but with knitted food I don't have to worry about the gluten. It just as a quick aside, if anyone else is struggling with a new diagnosis of celiac disease for themselves or a family member, especially if that family member is a teenager and a vegetarian, I've been writing about it on a blog called 39again.org. That's numeral 39again.org. I have a book of knitted food. It's called Knitted Fast Food by Susie Johns. It's a practical craft book from Search Press. This was a present, and there are 20 patterns in here. There are shish kebabs, there's fish and chips, there's a hot dog, there's a cupcake. Knitted cupcakes are something I've seen a few of, they've been a bit of a thing. A donut, I've also seen a few iced donuts around. Noodles, my word, they must be I-cords, I would imagine. Sushi, I mean, these are relatively involved items, but they're quite a laugh. And my son likes this book, and he last Christmas he said he'd like absolutely everything knitted in it, please, in his stocking. And I had a complete 100% fail and didn't knit any of it. But it's the sort of thing that I like the idea. It's quite fun, you know, if you're looking for a different little tiny gift or stocking filler or something for somebody, a small piece of knitted food, it's just, it's got a bit of a sense of humour. Whether or not you have this book, there are numerous free downloads on Ravelry for items of knitted food. I may perhaps make one or two stocking fillers from it this year, but seeing as I've just come out with an absolute litany of items that I want to knit and to some extent that I feel I have to knit over the next couple of months, I probably shouldn't be holding my breath. This type of knitted food, I'm just looking at what's on the cover. It's a knitted pizza, there is pepper, there's mushroom, there's cheese, there's pepperoni, there's the crust. She's using 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She's using 6, well, depending on the specifics of the greens, she's using at least 6 different colours of yarn. So depending on how you want to look at it, this is either a phenomenal stash buster or a great excuse to go out and buy lots of different colours. From what I can tell from my from memory and at a quick glance as well, this is mostly in DK, and my local yarn shop, Stitches in Leinster in North Herefordshire, has these big metal cages outside the shop. Fortunately, it's under an arcade, and they're always doing offers on DK, you know, 5 balls for £6 or something. And every now and again, I just go in and I hoover up a few colours, and they last me a long time. I've got currently in my stash, I've got red and white that have got a slight glittery fleck in them. And at Christmas time, if you're knitting a bauble, which is going to go on the Christmas tree and reflect the Christmas lights. I think that's great. I love that. I'm unlikely to use glitter-flecked red yarn any other time of year. I suppose you might conceivably get away with it on Valentine's Day. But a ball of yarn like that, even if you just buy one and you're paying full price, it's going to last you, you know, a year or two, or it's going to last me a year or two at the rate that I create these little items. Little items are always more work than you think. My mother recently passed me a pattern for a little bell, which is very sweet. The thing is, everyone who picks it up thinks it's something different. Someone thinks it's a Santa hat. Someone else thought it was a knitted thimble. A lot of use that would be. But that's another little fun thing you could do in a glittery yarn and hang on the Christmas tree. And it's just, you know, just a sort of silly little bit of fun. And really, in this life, I am all for silly little bits of fun. I just wanted to close with mentions of a couple of things that I've seen in the wild recently. I told you about the elegant lady in the grey dress. On Sunday, this weekend just gone, we went to something we always go to. It's I don't know how to describe it. It's called a hill climb. It's vintage cars, in this case, anything before 1930. And they have to complete a series of exercises. And it's on a lovely farm in Wales, and it's all very picturesque. And we take cake and we sit on the hill and we ooh and ah over these beautiful little cars. And this year I saw a woman with her family, and she was wearing a really lovely, I think you would call it a classic, classic Fair Isle cardigan or top. I couldn't actually see the front, I only saw her from the back. She moved off before I'd had a really good chance to look. But it had a lot of patterning round the yoke and then a much simpler pattern over the body. And I was having a really good look, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if that was handmade. And also, my daughter chose to take her punk rock backpack for the day, which always makes me really happy. She's, you know, she's a real peak teenager at the moment. And so for her to actually deign to be seen in public with something that her mother had made for her, that was really lovely. And I took a photograph of that, and that's on Instagram as well. I'm going to have to dash. It's one of those days in one of those weeks in one of those months. Once again, thank you very much for helping me to celebrate my 25th. Here's to my 50th. It'll be some point next spring. Happy knitting. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm not as active on Twitter as I would like. I am the Ord Knitter. On Ravelry, I'm Ordinary Knitting. And on Instagram, where I pop up most often, I am the Ordinary Knitter. I look forward to chatting to you. Bye.